really grateful for the opportunity that you provided for me to come over and represent the city of Coventry, where we hold a similar event to this on the first Tuesday of every month, and we have poets from the Midlands coming to Point to Read, and we're looking forward to hosting the poets in November, and hopefully we'll get a session of poems as well. Last year you saw the 10 poems that we've got in place. We've now got another 17 poems that we're going to put into place, and hopefully that'll be in place by the time the poets come out, so that even more people can see. Okay, I'm going to get on with some reading. I'm going to start off with a poem about a motorway, because it's the only poem I've got that mentions Coventry. So I thought I'd start with that. The M42 motorway runs to the south of Birmingham and the north of Coventry, and actually heads up towards Nottingham and down and joins the M5 motorway. And I was inspired by the Mercian Hymns by Geoffrey Hill, who writes this poem about King Offa, ruler of the Kingdom of Mercia, and he gives all these kind of historic places that Offa is the overlord of, and one of the places he mentions is a modern motorway. So I thought, well, I've never seen anybody write a poem about a motorway, so I'll write one about the M42. Artery of earls and Mercian kings through the suburbanums of Danelaw, A42, Nottingham and trips to Jerusalem, Tamworth, Offa and the Sandy Backs, scarred face with a heart beating its way from nowhere to nowhere, leaving the fumes of spent pleasures to drift among oaks, M6, Coleshill, Tolls, Toil and Tedium, tarmac and gypsum washed along border ridges so that Coventry can be Coventry and Birmingham will just have to live with it. A45, aeroplanes and old motorcycles, where dog breeders and pot fans meet with machine tool makers and system administrators. Solihull, Chelsea tractors and retail, Knowles, seabed of the Triffids, grey rolling miles of forgotten intersections, where polystyrene ice slopes on broken breezes and gantry messages tell of lane closures and methylated park. M40, Warwick and Oxford. Service stations to kingmakers and warmongers. The vapour trail of red sprayed mist, slug crawls, as death trains change carriages in the rush of the crush. Redditch, needled into zones. Bromsgrove, brushed and nailed to the palace gates. Bridges, salt tracks, cattle trails. Escape routes, stitching north to south and east to west. M5, Worcester and Gloucester, the stronghold of porcelain roses, vein of passage, breath of carbon, blood of petroleum, tearing steel through the flesh of no hair. As Paul said, I was born in Birmingham and not Coventry, but I've never really had an affinity to Birmingham. And that's why I moved out, really. So this is my one of the poems I'll do about Birmingham, and it kind of reflects that I don't feel I belong there. Flakes spread on beds and chairs, on weak walls and ceilings, in carpets, under rugs, left on desks and in filing cabinets. A presence once that I saw, I felt, I cried over. Some buildings reek of my journey. Dawdle, doodle, graphic, wasted hours, strolled, hibernated, studied, observed, daydreamed, stargazed, smoked, drank, wrote things down, a half-life, lived, felt, wandered over. This city was my classroom, playground, apprenticeship, my failed ambition. It gave me nothing for a feeling of not being longing. A few years ago I embarked on searching out my family history, which I managed to get back to about 1700, and found I came from a long line of textile workers from Yorkshire. And my grandfather indeed was a textile worker that worked in the cotton mills in Yorkshire. And I never knew him. He was killed in the First World War. And I just went to a cotton mill that's now a museum, and it's a working museum. And as I wandered round, I kind of thought about my grandfather and what he was doing, and me as a poet, what I'm doing, and what he would make of me, or I would make of him. And I wrote on the spindle, "Threads wrap their bodies, lithe and thin, green and red, into whipped pleasures, top to bottom, spun to the bobbin like fishing line to be cast out into a shuttle kiss. Cotton cloth cut to clothes, made to mend, to hold a button, settle as if once breath of exotic air gathered some. But that was a mere childhood. Now he's a working life, a uniform, a sense of purpose, hanging on racks in wardrobes, then lying on bodies, in machines, on rocks, and here on paper." Last year, for a holiday, my wife and I, we walked 100 miles from Skipton in Yorkshire to Penrith in Cumbria. And it's known as the Lady Anne Clifford Way. And it basically starts at the place where she was born, Skipton Castle, and ends in Brown Castle, where she died. And part of the way is this valley called Malastan, which I think is a Viking word actually. It's a wonderful word. I really love the word Malastan. And on Malastan there's a sculpture, arch-like sculpture with a crack there in the middle, which is supposed to represent the river. It's called Watercup. And a lot of people think the sculpture represents the river, but it's actually the gap in the middle that represents the river. So I wrote this poem about Watercup, but instead of it being my impression of the sculpture, it's the sculpture's impression of the world that it consists of. Human moods bemuse me, like the words that settle into books. Rivers should never be cast in stone. This is not a film dressing. Snapshots don't take the moment, casting it like a bronze sculpture to be forever remained a torsoed sun. I shift through light and through opinion, sleepless, no eyebrow raised to the past or thought of future plans. Standing here is living through the day, not whittling pencils into words or sketches that can be erased, faint images that blur into light, blur to live as mist on mountain tops. The hills talk now of new sounds. They won't react as I bend the breeze. The helmwind resonates a chord through boots and bones into hearts and heads that sees and hears and knows that nights are parts of days. Another place I like in Yorkshire, sorry all these poems are about places in England, but I will write some poems about Cork. You captured me, it's wonderful. This is Malham Cove. Now Malham Cove is in the Yorkshire Dales. It's a limestone area, and it's a massive rock face that used to be a waterfall a million years ago. The rock now seeps underground and actually comes out at the bottom of the waterfall. So you've got this massive rock face that was once a primeval waterfall, and it's just this glorious rock face. And if you go up to the top, you climb some steps to the top. There's a limestone pavement, and in between the rocks, as if an odd tree grows out between the rocks, and the tree I've actually, as they've grown up, it's just split the rock. And it's, they're just absolutely wonderful landscapes. So this is what I wrote about Malham Cove. Water. Wind-washed hides under rock. Weathers the wanderer's wayside to waste into drip pools of echoed breath. The crow man once walked these craven hills, tipping limestone pavements, granite scars and climbing crags, dropping seedlings into cracks. Hawthorn pleads there now. Brigantia, goddess of the Pennine Alps, played fluted nocturnes, renditions in lost notes, semi-breathing half-breaths through earth-class pipes. Irking, stargaze, frosted land, hillforts and barren tracts of the sea. Bothered least by lasting loneliness, there is no silence here. As stone resonates water, tripping limestone pavements, granite scars and climbing crags. In the haze of daylight, chill pushes ramp vista ramblers down to the bunk barns, leaving the wind and water to sail and trickle and waltz. Okay, this next one's about a place called Dungeness, which is off the coast of Kent. And 200 or 300 years ago, this place didn't exist. Because what's happened is, as the east coast of Britain has eroded and the rocks and sand have fallen into the sea has dragged it round and created this landmass called Dungeness. And Dungeness is a weird place because it grew up that way. It's like a rocky moonscape almost. And it's a strange place because it's got a nuclear power station on the end of it. And it's got all these shanty type shacks that people in London use as holiday homes. And it's also got this railway which was built as a proper railway, but it's a miniature railway. It's like small trains with small carriages. And it's almost like a toy railway. But it is a wonderful place, and if you're an artist or a poet, it really, really grabs you, and this is what I made of it. The road stretches out onto the tumour until the lines of habitants is left behind. The lines of habitants left behind, leaving the lifeboat station to mark the boundary between the wanted and the unknown. I reach the village, shanty shacks in skewed, unmarked stone gardens, where the salt-grey sleeper trees grow, wind-hollowed, trickling leaf shavings into scattered mausoleums. Sea cabbage sprouts amongst the bones of trawler wrecks, a sculpted horse of human presence, dripping flip-flops and sunglasses down onto the shingle beach. At dusk, he wanders the foreshore. One-armed pylons take the fizzing juice to civilization along tinsel cables that hum in the rain, away from the arresting charcoal grey concrete Lego block edifice. The Romney Marsh train set finishes here, bringing visitors to sit in the cafe watching the drizzle, shivering in their thoughts, keen to view the surface moon from the old lighthouse, whilst the new Saturn rocket light sits alone on its launch pad, sky watching, as if it believes it should rest on another sea of tranquility. Transient land where the air sings of creation and my foot sinks into the shingle that grips my ankle should I want to leave. I turn to the sea. Waves spill their handwritten words onto blank pages. Shingle grinds bladder wrap ink into blotched doodles. Wind plucks out the grass like feathers from a goose. All is written here. This is heaven after hell the sperm. Okay, I'm going to finish with three poems that, again, reflect places, but bring in my love of music. And this is another Birmingham poem, and it's about Birmingham in 1977, when there used to be a club there called Barbarella's, and that was the punk rock club, and that's where I saw the Sex Pistols. But I wasn't a punk rocker, I was into the blues and had long hair and so I was still a bit of an outsider, but this is something I observed outside Barbara Ellis, Birmingham, 1977. A grey Coma van pulls up at the stage door. The dead trees on tour is splashed down the thigh with all the finesse of vomit on a flagrant. The door slides open. Out steps a tattoo in torn denim. His hair modelled on the Alps, dark roots and peroxide snow tops. He's vacant and not pretty, but never mind. He pulls off his belt, checks his flies and adjusts his bollocks before crawling back to the back of his throat to pull a spit of green phlegm out onto the tarmac, into which he stubs out a cigarette. He kicks at the breeze, swears at anyone listening, takes a run and then stops at a passing transit van, his mind changed or never engaged. He takes a beer bottle, brown glass, red label, rip the crown off on the top of the edge door, catching the foam on his pierced tongue. He empties it into his gullet like a flash storm into a drain. He throws the empty at the sign that flashes Rellas, somewhat lost in the meaning without the light of Barber. Once more, he kicks the head and chest of the breeze to ensure it won't get up. He grunts and then walks to the back of the van and then carefully, lovingly, removes the electric blue guitar. Okay, this is my poem about Liverpool. I spent the weekend up there a few years ago and did all the things that you would do in Liverpool, went to find the Beatles and all that sort of thing. One of the things that was going on when I was there was this thing called a lamb banana, which I think the Japanese artist created this character that starts out as a lamb and then ends up as a banana, and it's supposed to be a warning about genetically modifying things. And there was this big yellow lamb banana there, but then they'd made lots of little ones which companies had sponsored, so they were all decorated in their these different companies' logos. It's kind of defeated the objects. They were there anyway. So this is my poem about Liverpool. It's called Setting. The city hums with the passage of alert hours to the tune of a day in the life. Moorfields taken over by a flock of lamb bananas grazing amongst commercial glass towers, a closed railway station and an empty coffee shop. Walton's neatly trimmed houses backing onto them unmade playgrounds with fields of strawberries and lonely graveyards. The Dingles' blue-collar terraces rife with toil, the exertion through frozen Mersey winters, album-covered pubs painted in the colours of the corporation bus. I watch two girls giggling as they perch upon the wall in Penny Lane, and I have my photograph taken performing poetry on the stage in the cavern. Then I wander through the wigwams and churches, Docklands and Migration, the three graces, the divide of red and blue. The water swirls like stirred cup of sweet coffee, steaming with the essence of diesel and drain, as the ferry carries me to Birkenhead in search of daylight. And I reflect that this was once ordinary, and to most, it's new. Okay, I said earlier, the music I really love is blues, and I've spent the day looking for Rory Gallagher, and I found the wonderful tribute statue by St Paul's and Gallagher's Club, and I'm told there's a shrine in the library as well.
The music
that was named after. So, yeah, really love Rory Gallagher.
Gallagher.
The way off the English.
Gallagher and Cockney.
I was lucky enough to be out in Memphis in April. I actually went with my wife, who always wanted to go and see where Elvis lived. We maybe did the Elvis tour, but that wasn't a special bit for me. It was Beale Street. and we spent some time on Beale Street at David King's Blues Club, and I met a musician there called David Bowie, who he was one of these guys who's earning a living playing the blues, but he's never going to be a real big man. He's just a jobbing musician who goes from one pub to another. But he and I had quite a conversation about the history of the place and blues, and I wrote this poem about that experience. It's called Memphis. We looked at our world differently. Eyes trickling over fainted paint peels, glaring wounds revealing the skin of an older story whose theme song was sung by a barbershop quartet dressed in moleskin waistcoats and pale candy straw hats. And I could see what you said was true. Dust bowled itself into soup that it was illegal to slurp, or caught itself under the fingernails of walls. The dry, dirty rain never seemed to clean the streets. It stirred the sewage from the drains and washed the air with cess. Heartbroken blue neon tubes spit out like out of nowhere, like fly traps that stung you. Where had the hipsters gone with their funky folk tunes and sharp, flared purple suits? The grocery shop whined and dined for nickels and dimes, cornbread with grits and starch for your collar, blues and reds and cigarettes, beer in paper bags, jazz and bass and potato chips, apple cannonballs. Hershey kicked heads, kissed the melting chocolate lips and stained the sheets with the second coming. Fat tyres broke wind and left a bitter aftertaste that caught my expelled fumes in a belched theatre. Rippling my six-pack that hides under my fully paid gut, walking fingers shuffle into the next rift. Blind, bowed, bent springs, bridges between home and a hotel. Shared beer in trip, phased out bars where guitarists sign their axes and leave them to hang like night blue fruit. Jug bands, hollered, cotton ballads, deep from the delta mud. Bow weevils still live here, sucking the candy from the floss, stripping the shirt from your back before it was spun and hit the loom. Harmonicas forced on notes deep from the cotton soul. The blues lives here, sucking the music from the fog, stripping the vinyl from the groove before it spun and hit a tune. You looked at me with different eyes. Shirt stared into me, focused on my hollow vibes, called for me to belt it out from a whisper of a shout. From a whisper to a shout. Gonna hollow back guitar licks. Gonna drink bourbon and beers. Gonna rock it out on Beale Street. Gonna shed no tears. Gonna celebrate difference. Gonna drink bourbon and beers. Gonna finger pick a slow tune. Gonna shed no tears.